This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Cheryl, this was really fun episode.
Oh, boy.
I know it's about Britney Spears, but there is still a lot of
talk
about
Babs. We cover a lot of other people. Somehow we cover a lot of other people.
A lot of sexy people.
We cover a lot of very sexy people.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's an appearance from a clown horn.
Uh-huh.
Well, you just spilled the beans.
But people don't know that was me. I learned how to do the clown horn.
Well, they do know now because you just said people don't know that was me.
So usually it's you and I have spilled some beans. But you're still going to love hearing about this documentary.
Yeah. Do you want to say your thing?
I do. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Framing Britney Spears.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Fry furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hey, Cheryl. Why do you suppose it's so hard for us to get into an episode?
I don't know, because it's weird. Mm-hmm. How do you bring it up?
Now, I feel like we've talked about this before, but do you think when things are safer in life that we will meet in person?
I think that would be nice. Don't you?
Yeah. I was just curious if you would feel
if I
like,
never want to see you.
Yeah.
I will only want to talk to you over a weird
Zoom.
Zoom.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about this documentary.
I don't know if I have the answers, but I have some thoughts.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts.
Very curious to hear your thoughts as well. Do you want to tell people what it is?
Yeah. So today we're talking about Framing Britney Spears. So Framing Britney Spears is a 2021 TV documentary directed by Samantha Stark. It profiles the rise of pop star Britney Spears, her place within American culture, and the recent hashtag Free Britney movement that has centered around concerns about Britney's conservatorship. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. Conservatorship. How do you say it, Tig?
I don't.
Okay. Overseen by her father. The film was produced by the New York Times and is distributed by Hulu and FX.
I watched this right when it came out before I knew that we would be doing this. I did it solely because I was interested in seeing it.
Was it what you thought it would be?
Well, I learned a lot. I mean, I realized that kind of similarly to how I felt when we watched Tiger Woods, I realized I haven't followed that closely with what's been going on. I thought that Britney Spears was a child who became famous.
Mm-hmm. That is true so far.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Went off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
did things like...
She shaved her head. We all know that.
Shaved her head and like hit her umbrella on a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just stuff.
Just sort of background noise where you're like, okay, those celebrities are nuts.
Yeah. And married a guy that people were making fun of. And I didn't realize that her father controlled all of her money. I had no idea about that.
Well, right. So that's what this documentary is. A lot of it is about her conservatorship.
Mm-hmm.
So Britney Spears is a grown woman who her father has been in control of her money and her life choices, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's odd and it's hard to understand how it happened and why it's still happening, and people are freaking out that it's still happening. Let's just listen to, so just so everyone knows, Brittany is from a small town in Louisiana. She got an agent in New York. And what I find very interesting is that her parents really struggled financially, but they knew that it was very important to Brittany to pursue this entertainment career. So they worked hard to let her go to New York to try to be a performer.
A Britney Spears.
To try to be a Britney Spears. So I think that's a part of, it's a big part of the puzzle for me. Because I think people are very happy to attack her dad, Jamie Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like hate her dad after watching this?
I feel like I don't know all of the information.
That's how I feel. I feel like it was weird that the New York Times is, you know, doing this documentary because I felt like it was very one-sided.
Yeah, I was watching it thinking, okay, if she is on drugs and she is being reckless and putting her life or her children's lives in danger, then it seems like she probably needs somebody to handle her life.
Right.
But if that is something that she's recovered from that's long gone and she's done work on it, then it seems like I need to write a hashtag Free Britney at some point. But I feel like I don't have all of the answers.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have all of the answers either.
Or even enough of the answers.
Yeah. You want to start out with Kim Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
Of Jive Records.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, why is it called Jive? Jive Records. That's like 1970. I mean, do people even say the word jive anymore?
I mean...
Do you say jive? I'm going to go...
Well, yeah, if somebody is... Well...
When do you say jive? When do you... When somebody's doing what?
Well, when somebody is...
Is jive talking?
I'm surprised I haven't said it more to you. I don't need no more of your jive talking.
Oh, my God. I hope that... You really mean it when you say that you're going to start using jive talking more, because I would appreciate that.
Well, I'm hoping you will stop with your jive talking. I'm not going to start using jive talking more. I'm just hoping that there is going to be a day where you will stop all of your jive talking.
Okay, so Kim Kanan from Jive Records talks about her interactions with Britney's parents. Mm-hmm. Let's just hear this for 1 second.
Her mother would do whatever it took personally and for the family's sake for Britney to be a star. Lynn supported Britney. I want to say Lynn because I never talked to her father. The only thing Jamie ever said to me was, my daughter's going to be so rich, she's going to buy me a boat. That's all I'm going to say about Jamie.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, that woman is from Jive Records?
Kim is from Jive Records.
That's the biggest issue I have with this documentary is the way this woman looks. Like if I were a singer or musician, mm-hmm. and somebody told me they had set up a meeting with Jive Records,
mm-hmm.
and she walked in uh-huh. with her briefcase and said, hello,
I'm Kim Kanan.
I'm Kim from Jive Records, and put her briefcase on the desk and mm-hmm. clicked open the briefcase
mm-hmm.
and then got out, you know, record contracts mm-hmm. and stuff. I would feel like I was being scammed. She looks like somebody that maybe belongs to a small town church.
Yeah, she looks like a bit of a church lady. This is a white woman with...
Which is fine and great.
It's fine. If you're a white woman that goes to a church club, that's fantastic.
But don't start Jive Records. Yeah,
no, because you want to meet somebody. You would be excited about that person that shows up like in the, I don't know, the pants.
In a limousine. Long stretch limousine.
Yes. Like some sort of hat. They have to be wearing some sort of weird hat.
Yeah, you got to put a hat on. You got to smoke a cigar. Somebody's got to smoke a cigar. You got to crack open the whiskey. You can't have a secretarial looking perm and a floral shirt or blouse. That's a blouse. That's not a shirt. I think I've only used the word blouse twice.
Well, it was called for in this. Yeah.
And she probably didn't start Jive Records, right?
Well, even that Jive Records hired her and said, yeah, we want you to represent us.
It's a little shocking that she's going into clubs and saying, flashing her card. And everyone's like, oh, gosh, the woman from Jive Records is here. And they're like, where? And they're like, right there. Where? Which one? That one right there. With
the white lady with
the sandals on, with the blouse and the gardening tennis shoes, right over there. She's carrying a pail full of flowers. Right there, she's here to sign us.
Yeah.
She also brought us some fresh baked cookies. That's what it would be like getting signed by her. As you sit there, she's like, "I made you some cookies."
So that was Kim from Jive Records, and which I also didn't find that, I don't know, that her dad said, my daughter's gonna be so rich, she's gonna buy me a boat one day. That to me
too crazy.
I don't find that too crazy.
No,
that's like a little fantasy,
right?
He's not saying I want her to pay all my bills,
right? He's not saying we're gonna get her a record deal because I want a boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't like an angry...
People can... And it might be.
It might be. It might be. It might be. That's the other thing.
But people can take a sound bite and use it in any way. You know what it reminds me of?
What, tell me.
Is, and I've always wanted to do this in my stand-up, but I can't quite find the right angle. But I've always found it so hilarious.
Yes.
When there is somebody running from the police.
Mm-hmm.
And they show all the different pictures of the person, mm-hmm. of their different looks.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so criminal. But it's also just, okay, he has a mustache here. Oh, he has a goatee here. He has, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a slant.
Yeah, he's got his hand in the pocket of his hoodie. And it's like, what?
Yeah, or just he's wearing a hoodie in one picture. He's got a mustache in another picture. He's got a... And they're just like, here he is changing his looks over the years. And it's like, I doubt that's exactly what's happening. He just has a hoodie on his head. He has a mustache here.
He's
has a goatee.
Wearing tennis shoes.
Oh, he's got boots on. Here he is at a Halloween party and he's a pumpkin.
So people can make it anything they want, is what
exactly.
I understand.
Exactly. I also don't want to seem out of the gate like we're... all for Mr. Spears.
No.
We're just reasonable people.
We are. I feel like we are
except
reasonable.
Except for all your jive talking, but go ahead.
Oh, my God, please. Oh, my God. So when she started out, Brittany's mom asked this woman, Felicia Culotta, if she would tour with Brittany and stay with Brittany and sort of watch over her, because Brittany's parents also had a young kid at home, Brittany's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, I mean, did you just love Felicia?
Very nice.
She was very sweet, very down to earth.
Seemed to really love Brittany and care about her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that seemed to work for a while, right?
But as a parent, is there anybody that you would send Kat around the world with?
Yeah, I have I have a few best friends that I would be, that I would feel like, but also I would fly out there and see her. I would not, I wouldn't let it go unchecked for so long. That seems...
Well, how often are you going to fly and meet Kat while she's touring?
While she's touring
the globe as a pop star.
Oh, once a month? How about you?
Once a month.
Yeah. How about you and
once
the boys?
Once a month?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you saying? Is that too much or too little? I don't understand what you're, why you're flabbergasted.
I don't think I could do it.
Do what?
I don't think I could let them go. First of all, if they want to be pop stars or actors, the answer is no until they're 18.
See, this is interesting. This is very interesting because you're right. When you ask, when you talk to actors and musicians and they say, oh, do your kids want to go into the business? Most of the time the parents, you know, these actors are, they're like, I hope not.
It's not even that I hope they don't. I hope they find their joy in a very fun, healthy, great way. I would not say I don't want them to act. I don't want them to play professional sports or be a comedian or musician. But if they want to, great. But they just can't do it until they are an adult.
So then when they turn 18, it's fine for them to tour around the country without you?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that they'll both want to live at our house for the rest of their lives. But
oh my God, cut to, these guys are going to be 40, like sitting in the basement.
Yeah, we need to get
playing video games.
No, I don't know. I think that, yeah, I would have to let them go do what they want. What if Kat wanted to?
I feel the same way. Like, I would not want her to do it at a young age because it's too much for a young mind to process.
Yeah.
And just like in this documentary, what Britney experiences, she's a young girl and she rises to fame very quickly. And people start, grown adults are getting into her business in a way that's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very bizarre.
I mean, so we have a little clip with Diane Sawyer, who has been criticized a lot from this.
She hasn't responded to the criticism, right?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so.
But I never talked to Diane. But she was interviewing Britney, and this is one of the questions that she asked.
Britney Spears has upset a lot of mothers in this country, starting with the wife of the governor of Maryland.
Really, if I had an opportunity to shoot Britney Spears, I think I would.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, that's really bad.
Because of the example for kids and how hard it is to be a parent.
Well, that's really sad that she said that. Ew. I'm not here to, you know, babysit her kids.
I like her response there.
I know.
And I mean, yeah, what is Diane Sawyer's point of echoing?
Right.
A grown woman who is saying she wishes she could shoot her because of her influence.
I know. Instead of Diane Sawyer saying, wow, that is so highly inappropriate and alarming. And that even that her saying that got any oxygen and people are showing it or people have heard it was beyond the scope of what's acceptable. And then for Diane Sawyer to say, yeah, here's her saying this. How does that make you feel? It's like,
yeah, I mean, Britney's response was so perfect.
Right.
Was just, ew, that's...
I know. And it was very sweet because she's a young girl and she's like, ew.
Yeah. It's really indicative of how things have changed and what's acceptable. And Britney Spears is such a marker for that because at that time, it was so acceptable to just, as they've talked about in the documentary, late night hosts and, you know, people, what is it when...
Fodder?
Roasting and, yeah, fodder, all that. It was so acceptable and there was such a detached way
that
people function.
Right, where we don't even think about Britney Spears as having real feelings.
Emotion, yeah.
Once again, and when we're talking about a young girl, I mean, we just talked to Billie Eilish's mom, Maggie Baird, was on our show. And it was interesting because she and Patrick, the dad, they really thought about all of this. You know, they, and she explained it really well. She said it's a very complicated world, the music world. And there's a lot that goes into it. And Maggie, you know, when we were saying, well, why don't you get a new house? That's bigger
well,
than...
Well, you were saying that.
That's bigger than like three rooms. And she was like, well, what if all this disappears tomorrow?
Yeah.
But, you know, they have this healthy attitude and with Billy, and they want to make sure that she knows who she is in her heart and that she's loved. And when you watch this with Britney Spears, you don't, I did not, certainly did not feel that connection with her parents. And I didn't understand where her mom was in all of this. Did you understand mm-hmm. where her mom was in all of this?
No, not at all.
Because, yeah, so she gets very famous, right? Mm-hmm.
To the point where I even heard of her.
And then people start making fun of her.
Actually, honestly, I was dating somebody when Britney Spears came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I so did not understand. It was before she was what she was. She was just kind of hitting.
Uh-huh.
And people were buying her records and all that. But I remember, I mean, being supportive of my girlfriend at the time that she liked Britney Spears. But I remember thinking that it was a child.
And uh-huh.
I don't know. I was confused. And it took a while for Britney Spears to kind of reveal herself to me and for me to understand what this phenomenon was.
Well, I think she really, I mean, no offense to your girlfriend, I don't know how old she was at the time, but a lot of Britney's fans were young girls,
right? But there were also adults that thought it was really fun to like Britney Spears.
A lot of adults,
some just in that fun kind of cheeky way like, of liking.
Turn up the radio and like sing along. Yeah. Okay, I got you. So she gets really famous. And here's where I have trouble sort of tracking the story. When you're talking about the conservatorship. Mm-hmm. So she had to have one in place because.
Because she shaved her head?
She was young. No, because she was young?
Yeah, I guess so. I assumed it was.
But who was it before it was her dad?
I don't know. I would assume that her business managers and parents and everybody was handling her money before. And then when she turned 18, that maybe she had control of it and maybe she lost control of her life in some way. And it was ruled in favor of her father.
Yeah. The timeline is weird. Okay, let's just go through the timeline for 1 second. Mm-hmm. So she becomes this huge superstar, right?
Right.
She meets Justin Timberlake. Oh, were they both mm-hmm. Musketeers?
He was a Musketeer.
Was it?
Oh, right, were right. They... Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of her husband.
So it is hard to, like, you know, take it all seriously when it's like the two Musketeers get together and people are fascinated by it.
Yeah.
It's like, why were people so... They were fascinated by the Musketeers.
I think also because Britney Spears was so objectified in this
right.
sexual way, and she was a Musketeer, and that they were publicly claiming to not be having sex, which...
Right. Which everybody...
having sex.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Yes, we do. How do we know?
She said no.
I think Justin has since said, yes, they were having sex.
Okay.
Which is
case.
Hold on a second. I'm still doing this. Which is often the case when people are saying they're not having sex. They are having sex.
Okay.
Thank God we got through that.
There's more.
No, please. We get it. People lie about having sex.
Yeah.
In both directions, by the way. People lie and say, yes, I had sex, and people...
Isn't that another boy band? Both directions? There's one Justin Timberlake. He was in... What
one
was
direction.
He in?
One, five guys? I don't know. No, that's a hamburger place. Five guys?
Well, what a... Five Guys Pizza. He was in that boys band. And then there was
directions.
The other boys band. Boys band, both directions.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Direction. Okay, should we go back to Diane Sawyer again for 1 second? Here's her interviewing Britney Spears. This is also weird. So this is right after they broke up, after Justin and Britney.
After the Musketeers.
I don't want to spill the beans, but they did not stay together. They're not together.
And I think they made national headlines.
I definitely think they made national headlines.
Well, you just said earlier you didn't think they made national headlines.
Well, I've changed my mind. You're right.
Well, because people are saying they're not having sex. They are having sex.
Oh, my God.
Let's listen to the clip.
Yes.
I have to ask a couple of things about Justin.
Okay, of course.
He has gone on television and pretty much said, you broke his heart. You did something that caused him so much pain, so much suffering. What did you do?
What did you do?
What did you do?
What did you do to that poor, beautiful, and innocent
Musketeer.
What did you do to him, Brittany? I mean, what were these questions? How old was she? She was young at this point.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like just trying to imagine sitting down with a child.
And being like, so serious.
Yeah.
Hey.
What did you do?
Hey, what did you do to that guy?
Yeah.
He's never going to be the same. Mm-mm. Little 17-year-old.
Oh, little 17-year-old. Listen to me, little 17.
You have ruined his life. But then, okay, listen. They broke up, and then she marries. Let me ask you something first.
Okay.
Before she married Kevin Federline, she married another guy. I don't know if it was before or after.
Oh, in Vegas.
Yes. And
for a day.
For 55 hours. And I only know this because I am friends with Jason Alexander, the actor Jason Alexander. And we were talking one day and he said, Britney Spears married a guy named Jason Alexander. And he said he was just like minding his business one day and he's getting hundreds of texts and phone calls like, did you just marry Britney Spears? People were freaking out. Like, are you in Vegas? Did you just marry Britney Spears? He's like, what the fuck is going on out there?
I vaguely remember hearing that.
Could you imagine? It's like
Britney Spears ran off with Jason Alexander from Seinfeld. I saw this coming.
Once things ended with Justin Timberlake,
and
she
once
went
those
straight
two were in the same room
to Jason Alexander.
And then once that was over, she's going to go to Kevin Federline. She's going to make a pit stop to Jason Alexander
before she goes to Kevin Federline.
And you know,
oh my God,
Stephanie made a really interesting point
yeah.
that I didn't even think about. There was so much made about what a loser, how trashy Kevin Federline was, you know, or like stupid or
yeah,
just
like
the people were just
whatever it was. Yeah. Like they didn't like him.
Trash.
I couldn't tell you
just
why. That...
So many things.
Right.
And she was saying if he appeared on a red carpet today, people would think he was the most handsome. He's dressed back then the way people dress now. And he's got the same vibe that people have now that are taken seriously and people find them attractive and handsome. And he was treated so terribly as well when she married him.
Yeah, why? Because he wasn't a Mouseketeer and that's what everybody
right.
wanted
and,
to see.
Well, he was all tattooed.
Yeah,
and
the tats.
And, yeah.
The stick
yeah,
and pokes. Probably not. He probably had professionals do it.
His vibe is so the vibe that people have now.
Right. But people did not want to see it. They thought that, oh no, Britney's going off the deep end with this guy. Yeah. And then she has kids with him.
Yeah.
And then
adorable
things get
children.
Really? Things are going off the rails now because the paparazzi is after Britney Spears so much.
I was out to eat in Los Angeles. You know, have you been to Pache?
Mm-mm.
It's a really cool restaurant. And I was there one night having dinner and there's this side area where there's a booth where you can just kind of, it's very private,
sort of
the
sneak
little
in
booth.
And, mm-hmm.
Very small restaurant though.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny restaurant. And I remember while I was having dinner, Britney Spears came there with her dog while she was in the middle of this crisis and sat in that booth and had dinner. And there was paparazzi all over.
Just waiting for her to step outside of the restaurant.
Meanwhile, having no idea that I was in there.
Yeah.
Paparazzi didn't know.
They didn't know that you were in there. And
they didn't know.
And if they did.
She overshadowed.
Even you.
Yeah, me.
That's hard to believe.
Do you get paparazzi'd?
I like that you use it as a verb. Not usually, but I do remember there were places that you go. Or back in the day. I mean, now that there's been a pandemic, I think there's no paparazzi. People aren't hanging outside. But I remember like being in Beverly Hills and walking around, and I was with Kat. She was little. She was like maybe 3 or 4. And they wouldn't stop following me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, guys, I am not doing anything interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go somewhere else. This is not, it's nothing. We're walking, you know, and it's weird because they're walking backwards. And now I'm worried that they're going to fall off the curb and they're going to hurt themselves and blah, blah, blah. So I don't usually get it. But once in a while, if somebody, you know, if one person says, oh, there's such and such, then they all decide, oh, this is exciting, over here. And you're like, who are you talking about? Do you get it? Do you get paparazzi'd?
I like how you use that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start using it.
I probably get paparazzi'd as often as you do. I mean, I've gotten it before very uncomfortably when I left therapy once. And then another time when I was leaving a coffee shop, my friend Martha Kelly, who was on the show Baskets, before she was as known as she is now, we were just having coffee and we left. And this guy had his video camera and he was saying, Tick, you know, walking backwards and talking to me. And Martha, who is the most reclusive, quiet, shy person, when he appeared with his huge, those cameras are huge.
Yeah.
And she got so startled, and I'm not exaggerating. She jumped into the bushes while we were walking down the sidewalk. and I was trying to explain to her that they weren't trying to film her. There was no reason for her to jump into the bushes. She injured herself with twigs, and you know, she was so, you have to understand her, know her. She's a frightened little feral animal.
Well, I mean, it is a little terrifying because people are, they're coming at you and they really won't leave you alone until you mm-hmm. get into your car. And even then they're all standing around your car and you can't really drive away. I mean, and I'm talking about my paparazzi compared to Britney Spears' paparazzi is probably a little different. But when you watch this film, you see these guys, and they're mostly guys, not that it matters, but they're invasive. They do this thing where they try to act like your friend, but they're not.
It's the weird. Hey, Tim, what's going on? How's your day going? How's Stephanie and the kids? How are the boys? What are they, like, four now? And you're just like, who are you?
It's weird.
Where's Stephanie? Are you just out for a walk, having lunch? What's going on? Please. Yeah. Are you supposed to be, like, are you supposed to just give in and just be, oh, things are good. Stephanie's home doing laundry and Max, he's not feeling well today. He's home from school. And, oh, Finn's so into baseball. Like, you would have to be mentally ill, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just talking into a camera with a stranger.
Yes.
I just got out of therapy. I have some really deeply rooted issues.
Haven't figured them out yet. I'm here next week, guys.
Struggling through life, you know.
So, okay, back to Britney. So she just had this baby, and now, you know, the paparazzi is hounding her and following her, and then they take a video of her in her car with her infant on her lap driving, which, by the way, it's not great.
It's not great. If you pulled up to a light and you saw Britney Spears with a baby on her lap,
I'd probably want to take a picture because I would be like, oh,
this. Oh, I can make some money with the paparazzi. You'd paparazzi her.
I would just be like, somebody needs to intervene, have a talk. Uh-huh. Like, this is.
Would you go over there and knock on her car window and say, I know we're just at a red light, but you have a baby on your lap?
I don't think so. Because she knows she has a baby on her lap. You're not breaking news.
Right.
Would you get out of your car and knock on the window?
I might, actually. I might go over and knock on the window and say, is there something I can help you with?
Right.
And
I see the car seat
be...
in the back seat. Can I help you get that
can
baby
Can I help
in?
You get the baby in there?
But you know what's weird about that is there was another adult in the car. Right? In the passenger seat? Am I crazy?
But they were doing that to flee the paparazzi, right?
Yes.
It's kind of like get attacked or trampled by these.
But why not, if you're going to have the baby in your lap, and I'm not saying anybody should have their baby on their lap when they're driving a car, but.
Ooh, it's hard to understand when you talk like that.
But let the other adult drive the car and sit in the back seat with your baby on the lap, right?
Why do you want a baby?
I don't want
a
baby
on
my lap. That's why I was saying it that way. No, I'm saying nobody drive with a baby on your lap. It's never a good idea. But if you have to, I mean, people do it in New York all the time.
Well, and people did it all the time before the 80s.
Right.
I mean, you just like plop a baby in the car seat and hope they don't tump over.
Is tump a word? Nope.
Yes. It's Southern dialect.
Are you saying T-U-M-P?
Yeah.
How do you spell tump?
T-U-M-P.
It's not a word. If we were playing Scrabble and I said, and I put down the word tump, would you be like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. You just got 12
absolutely.
Points.
Absolutely. It is Southern dialect, Cheryl. I'm surprised you don't. Tump. Oh, Google it right now.
I'm going to Google it
Google it right. Everybody pause Please? The episode yes. and Google tump. T-U-M-P. To tump. To knock something over.
A small, this is what I have.
Tump.
Tump does come up, but it says a small rounded hill or mound or a clump of trees, shrubs, or grass.
Google deeper. Google deeper.
By the way, they're all nouns. It's not okay. A verb. It's nobody's...
Hey, I don't know the difference between nouns and verbs. I have a seventh grade education.
No, we have to go through this every podcast. We have to talk about our education.
How dumb I am. But Google deeper. It's tump. Google tump in Southern dialect.
Okay, look, I'm looking. Okay, now I'm looking at Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, tump.
It says, "Hey, yo, you try and go tump right quick." A Canadian way to say you're going to
Google
smoke.
Southern dialect and tump.
Tig,
Southern dialect.
We're getting off track.
This is why people pay a lot of money. So just Google it.
I'm Googling it.
Here's an article by Texas Monthly. Talk like a Texan. Is tumping Texan? I believe it is. I lived in Texas for years. And we tump things over there. All right.
All right. Well, let's agree to disagree.
Let's tump it.
Why did we even say tump?
Well, because you don't want to tump a baby.
We don't want the baby to tump over.
Yeah. See, now you're using it
perfectly. I'm never going to use tump. Okay. If there's anybody out there who uses the word tump, I would like to hear from you because
But let's not clog the social media and email airways with all the tump.
Okay. You know what else I thought was weird about this? Tell me if this did not strike you. So at some point... she's trying to get her father away from being the conservator, right? She hires an attorney named Mr. Streisand. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm very immature, and that struck me as funny. And I.
Would you not hire an attorney named Mr. Streisand?
Mr. Streisand? I guess I would, but I would always laugh every time I said it. I don't know why. I feel like there's only one Streisand.
There's not.
I'm sure there are lots of Streisands out there.
In fact, she has a son.
Barbara?
Babs.
You think his last name is Streisand?
I don't know. Well, she came from some Streisands, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there are other Streisands.
But you
feel
like her whole family, she's the end of the family tree? That was the last
I think she's
Streisand.
The one and only. Okay. She's the one. And you know, she came to my house for game night once. Have I told you that?
No.
Yeah, I was throwing a party for my friend.
Oh, I guess we're going to hear this story.
I was just throwing a party for my friend who, you know, she's one of those people that's like, I know exactly what I want at this party, so why don't I just do it for you? Which I'm like, great. So all I'm doing is saying everybody can come to the house. But so she had control over, you know, who was invited and this and that. And she was like, Barbara's coming. And I was like, oh, okay, Barbara who? And she's like, Barbara Streisand.
Were you thinking Barbara Bush?
I think.
She should have said Babs is coming.
That would have been clear.
Yeah, then you know.
So I was like, okay, fine. I thought, of course, she's not coming to play running charades. And lo and behold, she shows up. And I'm like, hey, we have a taco truck. Could we get you a taco? And she's like, I would love one. What kind? I was like, whatever you want. There's chicken, beef, or pork. And she's like, I'll take the pork, which I thought was interesting. And I was like, wow, okay. And then later she said it was one of the most delicious tacos she's ever had.
Cheryl, that is, is one of the greatest stories.
Well, I'm just saying. I just want
I hope you keep that fresh in your story Rolodex.
I'm just saying it because she was very down to earth in a way that I did not
expect. She ordered pork tacos.
Well, I thought if I said there's a taco truck that she'd be like, no, thank you. Shut it down.
No, thank you. I'm Babs.
I don't eat from a taco truck. That's what I was expecting. And she was quite the opposite. And
we couldn't pry her from that taco truck. Babs, get off the pork. Stephanie and I went and saw her in concert, and she ended one of her songs with, You bet your ass. She finished the song. With, like the last word that came out of her mouth in the song
was ass.
Finished. And then, you bet your ass. We laughed so hard. In fact, Stephanie posted it on Instagram. But we were also fascinated because her concert seems to be completely scripted.
Oh.
Her banter in between songs. She had a teleprompter.
Whoa.
And she was reading between what? Songs.
Hey, really, Orlando. Yeah. It's good to be here.
Exactly.
I mean, I hate to toot my own horn, but back to me for a second. I wish you had a different horn. I really wish you had a different horn. That is like a weird clown horn. Okay. Forget I said that. But then Barbara invited me over to her house for dinner.
Okay. And oh, the story continues. Wait, was she serving pork?
No, I think it was fish. But one thing that I thought was very, I didn't know this about her, but maybe you do. She has a lot of dolls. Do you know this?
I did not know this.
So when you walk into her house, there are dolls everywhere, like on her stairs.
I have the same thing. What would you think if you came over to my house and I had a gigantic doll collection?
I would be like, uh-huh. Yeah, okay, like, that makes
Stephanie
sense.
Stephanie left me. I've been drinking and I've been on Amazon. Online shopping. And I have dolls.
But anyway, I thought people might want to know that about Barbara.
You bet your ass!
She's down to earth and she has a lot of dolls. And she's very cool. She's funny and she's, you know.
Wait, is having your house full of dolls, like hoarding dolls, is that down to earth? Well,
first of all, I never said hoard.
You did.
No, I did
you
not.
You said hoard.
No, I did
top.
Not. Collect. She collects dolls.
And is that down to earth?
Well, I mean, I don't think it has to do with being. I don't think it has to do with being down. I'm just saying, she is the type that she's like, go ahead, put your feet up on the coffee table. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And you would not expect that from Barbara Streisand.
And did she actually say, put your feet up on the coffee
yes!
table?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I went into her screening room. You know what? It's not about me. Let's get back to this.
So it was just you having dinner by yourself? And then you wandered into the screening room?
No, it was
room?
Me and Bobby and her and
Mr. Streisand.
And James Brolin. Yeah.
Babs
and then we
and
had
Jim.
Then we had dinner and then we watched a movie in their screening room.
Great. Okay. And what'd you have? Fish, you said.
Fish. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tig. Listen, mm-hmm. We got to get back on track here. Mm-hmm. So back to Brittany. She has a lot of issues, right? She's going off the rails. She's getting divorced. Kevin Federline wants custody of the children. And she ends up losing custody of her children.
Was she, in fact, on drugs?
I don't know. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the problem. I don't know. But I do know that it's difficult to lose custody of your children as a mother. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. I think you really have to show the court that there are extreme reasons why.
Oh, right. I think, remember that when she locked herself in the closet and there was some moment, I can't remember if she was threatening something, but I feel like that was a really pivotal moment because she...
Once again, we're really focused on the documentary and the details that we're supposed to be... I mean, would it kill us to take notes when we watch these documentaries? I think she was locked herself in a closet. I don't remember that at all, but...
Or maybe she was locked in her house. I feel like there was something where she had her kids. I feel like that was a pivotal moment where she maybe lost some credibility as a parent.
I mean, she was going out a lot. She was hanging out with Paris Hilton and...
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I don't know that. But by the way, I don't think people lose custody of their children for hanging out with Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton. There was probably more involved
right.
than we know.
I mean, there's people that are homeless and on drugs that the courts give
yeah,
an opportunity to over and over and over again to
So Mr. Streisand found out that he could not get involved.
James Bolin?
Brolin.
Whatever.
He found out.
So Babs and James find out.
He found out that he could not get involved because there were medical records that he was not allowed to see. Mm-hmm. And so the conservatorship stayed as per.
Yeah.
So it started this whole movement of Bree Fritney.
Hello, hashtag Bree Fritney. That's going to be, that merch is going to fly off the shelves. Hashtag Bree Fritney.
It started people online with a hashtag Free Britney because they felt like the dad was controlling her. At some point, she checked into a mental facility. Mm-hmm. And even though the report is that she checked in on her own accord, her fans are sure that somehow the dad is
behind it,
manipulating it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's hard to know what is actually going on. There are probably two sides of the story that we just don't
see.
There
usually is.
Yes.
It feels like this documentary has certainly gotten the conversation going and a lot of newfound interest in, is she being wronged? Is she being controlled against her will?
Right.
And I think that whatever the case, it's important that the film was made so that...
Yeah, it's shining a light on it and people can check on her in some sort of way. I mean... Mm-hmm. Am I crazy or is it?
Yes.
Is it slightly weird that there are Free Britney activists? Like somebody who calls themselves a Free Britney activist?
I felt that way. I felt a little torn about that because it does just seem like they're just fans.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of it is, gosh, if she is being abused in some way, good thing that they're
the activists
out there honking
motivated.
Their horn.
Am I doing
it? Good. Yeah. Can you do it faster?
Oh, well, for some reason it got higher.
Yeah. That's very good.
Gosh, I like it. Okay. Tig, we have to wind it. We have to wind it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to record another podcast
this
that's
is not an
award-winning.
Place,
or actually award-nominated.
Not
I'm sorry.
Appropriate to be talking about it. At
don't
this
ask
point.
Tig.
So just to wind it down, mm-hmm. there have been some apologies since this. Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake, who had said, you know, on a radio talk show that he had effed her. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, so he's since said he's deeply sorry for the times in his life where his actions contributed to the problem. Something mm-hmm. like that.
And so how do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's good that he apologized? Do you feel like... it's too little too late.
Well, I think it's nice.
Does it feel like you're apologizing? Not because you're sorry, but because you want to save your career?
I don't know. I felt like it. I thought it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, you know, what a decent human being could do.
Yeah.
You can't turn back time.
For sure. Yeah. I was just curious how you felt.
How do you feel?
I feel the same. I feel like there's always time and room for an apology. It obviously doesn't mean that it's going to be accepted, but but you certainly appreciate it more when people do that rather than not.
Yeah.
Diane Sawyer. Hello. We know you're listening.
Papa.
Oh, Now you're doing it. Okay. Do you think Diane Sawyer's listening?
Yes.
Hello, Diane.
She is folding her laundry and listening to this. Trust me, I know this to be true. So is Babs. Hey, Babs. Okay, listen. Let's head. It's
you bet your ass.
And then could you see it in the teleprompter? You bet your ass.
Yeah. Oh. Go to Stephanie's.
Her
go
IG?
To Stephanie's Instagram, okay. and look for the clip of, okay, Barbra Streisand. It is so funny.
So okay, funny. Listen, it's time for Happily
it
Ever
basically,
After Thoughts.
Oh. It basically, ending the song with You Bet Your Ass feels like ending a song with Shabang! Shaboom!
I'm going to start ending a lot of conversations with You Bet Your Ass.
You bet your ass. Anyway.
Maybe auditions. Right before, mm-hmm, you walk out the door, you're like, you bet your ass.
I would do shebang. And then leave.
Okay, it's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
No.
No, I didn't either. Oh, this one's so awkward. I mean, I don't even want to talk about if we were attracted to anybody.
Why is that awkward?
I don't know. It's always weird when
I don't know.
It's like young people, although I guess she's like middle-aged.
Well, it doesn't have to be Britney Spears.
Right.
It can be anybody.
Well, who? Mr. Streisand?
Babs. I'd love to take Babs out for a pork taco. Now that I know what she loves to eat. Hey, Babs, it's Tiga. Listen, call me back. I'd love to take you out for a pork taco, babe. Babs, babe, whatever. Oh, I'm just nervous. Anyway. Oh, God, click. I like her so much.
Oh, my God. I mean, I wouldn't mind being stuck in an elevator with Barbra Streisand. I mean, it's not. This wasn't really about Barbra Streisand.
She
and
smells-
she's not in the documentary at all.
It's just, now it's gotten to the point, are you attracted to anyone that we've mentioned?
Oh my God.
What if you're stuck in an elevator with Babs and she sniffs pork tacos in your purse?
You mean I have them in my purse and she's,
yeah,
like, hey, Heinz, I can smell it.
I can
you've
smell
taken, you've
it.
Taken this to a ridiculous place, Tig.
Okay, who are you attracted to? Jason Alexander?
Yeah, I'll say Jason Alexander. Who are you attracted to?
Babs. I said I want to take her out for a pork taco.
What?
Now that I have that inside scoop, I'm going to look so good when I take her to a taco truck and I'm like, hey, Babs. Get any pork taco you want. It's on my dime. I'm paying for it with my podcast cash.
By the way, I think one of our producers, Gabby, was the person that got Barbra the tacos from the taco truck.
Oh,
so
wait.
This is probably
the story goes on. We should have Gabby in as a special guest for a follow-up episode of how Barbra Streisand's taco truck, a very special Barbra Streisand taco truck episode.
Okay, listen. I think that's going to do it.
Do you think we could get Babs on the show?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I want to say no.
Do you have her phone number?
Maybe.
Email?
I definitely have her email. Or her people's email.
Yeah, I'm sure you have her.
That's
people.
Really nothing to brag about. Is it? Oh, I know her rep. Like,
her rep who reps 50 other people?
That you can Google. Should we move into, you want to hear some true fan mail?
Of course, of course.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
You read it.
I don't really have my glasses on. So these are real
people letters. Believe they're real. I don't know. People aren't listening going, there's no way these are real.
Okay. This looks like a long one. I haven't read it yet. Okay, here we go.
Dearest Tig and Cheryl, I hope this finds you well.
Wow. This is from Dusty M.
Oh.
Okay. Something embarrassing happened to me, and I have to tell someone. Oh, I'm glad it's us. Unbeknownst to me, the podcast app I use allows you to speed up the audio. I didn't know that I've been listening to all my podcasts for the past 2 years at 1.25 times the speed. I found out when my husband and I decided to listen together, and I insisted he had it slowed down. The worst part is, in an attempt to seem worldly, I've been telling people how podcasts are edited so amazingly now, really making things feel fast and informative, and marveling at how the host can speak so quickly and clearly at the same time. So today I listened to True Story for the first time at normal speed. It was really hard to get used to. Oh my God. Let's see. It was really hard to get used to. I've been listening to you both thinking you sounded a little manic all the time. Now you sound super slow and awkward. Not sure if I should make myself get used to this or just resolve to live my life at 1.25 times the speed from now on. P.S. You both sound much more reasonable at normal speed. At 1.25 times, you always sound just a little extra annoyed, especially when Cheryl says her catchphrase, listen.
You know what I think we should do for Dusty M?
Hmm.
We should do this. Thank you so much, Dusty M.
You know what?
And that way,
it'll sound completely normal.
Normal.
I will say this. You ever listen to the car ads and they're like, 4.1 C? I always thought, how do they speak so fast? I really did not.
Oh, is it sped up? I didn't know.
But it has to be. Have you ever heard how quickly that goes?
Stephanie can talk so fast. Stephanie, I'm telling you, it would blow your mind. She can count. She can do the alphabet. She can
talk that fast. So maybe it's Stephanie on the car commercials.
Yeah, but also they're on medicine commercials too.
Yeah, I think they're sped up.
Can you do your best impression of one of those commercials without mumbling?
I don't know what the coming to Chevrolet for the next 2 years. We have a special.
So the answer is no.
Can you?
I can't, but do you want to hear, this reminded me of something that I do that makes Stephanie laugh, and maybe it'll amuse you and our listeners. I think it's so funny when you call in to a place and they have a hold
music.
You know, they and not just hold music, but like a hold message.
Yeah.
So you call your grocery store and it's like, you call and they put you on hold and it's like, thank you for calling your neighborhood Whole Foods Market, where sunshine is. Whole Foods Market. like in the middle of like the most
important upbeat.
Thank you for calling your local Pavilions, where the neighborhood Pavilions.
Oh my God. Okay, so we love hearing your messages, you guys.
Oh, right. We really do. Our fan base.
I love our fan base.
I do too. And it's so fun to read because they seem like they really are happy and enjoying it and laughing really hard and that they get it. And they seem like cool people.
Yes. I have found myself, when I can't go to sleep at night or if I'm having a bad day, I'll go and read reviews and hear and see what people are writing and how much they love this show. And it just, like, I don't know.
Are you crying?
I am about to. Oh,
are you? Cheryl. Oh, my gosh. Talk it through. Talk it through.
I'm not going to cry.
But you're crying.
Because it brings me so much joy. Okay, I'm not going to keep talking because I will
cry. She's crying. She is crying.
They're joyful tears.
But you're touched.
I'm touched. That's the thing. I'm touched. I am touched by these guys.
I can tell. And I, listen, I'm not crying. But I am very touched, and I have noticed that I feel like the people that write in are not, they don't seem like lunatics. They don't Mm-mm. seem like weirdos.
Mm,
they
smart.
Seem like funny, smart people mm-hmm. that get it. And yeah. it shocks me.
I appreciate it. Shocks you?
Because sometimes there's some crazy people out there. So.
Okay. No, I agree. I completely agree. Okay. That's it.
Do you have anything to promote?
No, I'm not going to promote anything. And I don't want you going into a long... Do you have one quick thing to promote?
Yeah, I would
quickly,
love...
Quickly.
Well,
don't let it be anything stupid.
Mention
again
that Mm-mm. my podcast, okay. Don't Ask Tig, was nominated for Best Comedy Podcast. And if you haven't got my book yet, it's called... I'm just a person.
Okay.
I have a TV series called One Mississippi.
All right. So, yeah, that's exciting that Don't Ask Tig was nominated.
Special.
What was the name of the award it's nominated for?
Ambies?
Don't ask me. Yeah. Okay.
Don't ask Tig.
Ambies?
I guess the Ambies, it's the first year and it's the audio
equivalent
to... Emmys or Oscars or Grammys,
right.
Tonys, that whole thing.
It's exciting. So, congratulations.
Well, I know you're saying it through your teeth.
I am.
Your big teeth.
If I was going to pick out my own teeth, they would never go this big.
I told you, I think about it all the time. All right. Well,
all right, guys.
Should we do it again?
Yes. Let's do it again.
All right. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Tig Notaro, and Cheryl Hines. It's produced by Gabi Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette. Audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really, really appreciate the reviews. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
Next week, we're talking about the King of Kong.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.